Today's lesson is actually going to be called, Lord, I Will Trust in You. Instructing the church to conduct their assemblies in such a way that the whole church could be benefited by, they'd be edified by, they'd be built up by, they would be encouraged in. The Apostle Paul writes something interesting in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15. He says this, I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. How many of you like to sing? How many of you love to sing praises to God? Love to sing songs of worship? It's a wonderful thing. We delight in that. I pray that we do. And we spend a lot of time doing that in our gatherings, on Sunday mornings particularly, and praising God and singing songs of worship and exalting God. But one of the things that's so important is not that we just sing to God, but we understand what we're singing to God. And in those situations where we're actually singing one to another, and that does take place as well, that we understand what we're conveying, and we listen enough to understand what's being conveyed. Matter of fact, in the third chapter of the book of Colossians, Paul would also write this, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Notice that as we sing, Christ's word is to dwell within us. That teaching, admonishing one another through songs, and so many times I'm afraid that is missed these days. There's been a pendulum swing in churches. Many years ago, it seemed like so much of the singing was directed one to another, and there was very little that was directed to God. There were a few songs, holy, 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 for one, but so many were didactic, if you will. They were teaching, admonishing one another songs, and not so much just praising God and worshiping Him. Having said that, the pendulum swing now is that there's so many that are just about praising and worshiping God, and very little thought, I'm afraid, is given sometimes to the teaching, admonishing. Both are to take place. Both are to take place. We are to understand what we're singing. We are to get the messages as well as the melody in the music. We're to get that. And we're to understand how important it is. And we, as a church here, I work very closely with our praise team, with our musicians, to come up with programs of music and songs that, if you will, usher us into a place where we are praising God, but yes, we are being prepared as we're taught and admonished in the songs, even laying the foundation, if you will, so many times for my lessons. But we try to interweave those. That's important. So this month, I'm presenting a series of lessons that I'm referring to as Song Select. Each message is going to be inspired by one of the songs that we sing here at Calvary. And since it's only going to be like a four-week series, there are so many songs that we could have chosen from. But I'm going to choose a couple of very treasured hymns, as well as some newer songs of praise. Matter of fact, the praise team introduced a brand new song at the start of our service today, entitled Trust in You by Lauren Daigle. Now, maybe you've heard it before, if you've been listening to contemporary Christian music, maybe you had heard it before, but I realize it's probably new to most of you. We're going to be inviting you to join us in singing that song at the close of my message. But before we do that, I want us to prepare ourselves for that. Because so many times when it's a brand new song, once again, we are either turned off by it or we're warm to it immediately. And so many times, isn't it because of the melody? But I want us to engage in the message. I want us to learn from the lyric. There are several references to Scripture in the lyrics of Lauren Daigle's song. And I don't want us to miss out on them. For one, the writer either had in view the parting of the Red Sea when the Israelites exited Egypt, or the parting of the River Jordan when they entered into the Holy Land, or maybe both, I don't know. But in the song, it speaks about God parting waters. God did that in the past. He did that for the Israelites. He did it in a mighty and powerful way. And it certainly should demonstrate to us that He has power to clear the path for us to move in whatever direction He chooses for us to go. And that's important. Whatever direction He chooses for us to go, whatever direction He sends us in, He can clear the path for us to go. So many times I believe we are stymied sometimes. We say, well, God wants me to do that. I don't see how I could possibly do that. He wants me to go there. I don't see how that could possibly work. I don't see how I have the power to do that. Maybe you don't. Chances are you don't. But that doesn't mean God doesn't have the power. If He calls you to it, He'll bring you through it. He will clear the path for you. He has the power to do that. But once again, it's providing it's the path that He chooses for you. She also makes mention in the song of the teaching of Jesus that's found in Matthew 17, verse 20. It's when He was talking to His followers, and He said this, I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. In the song we're going to sing, if you were listening earlier, again, she talks about God moving mountains, His ability to do that. Jesus says here, God has the power to move mountains. Well, providing we have a little bit of faith, a mustard seed of faith. Now, I don't want to bore you with the details, but it's important to know that though they're often used interchangeably, the word trust and the word faith in the Scriptures are not necessarily one and the same. Sometimes our English translations will translate the Greek word the same, but there are different words. The foundation of the words is different. They're not necessarily synonyms, although they have some similarities. For instance, this verse talking about this little bit of faith, this mustard seed faith. If we just lifted it out of its context, we just lift it right on the page, and many have done that, by the way, we could easily get the idea that whatever obstacles we encounter in our lives, whatever they are, all we have to do is ask God to remove them, and He will. It seems to be what it's saying. If we just believe that He can, believe that He will, right? That seems to be what He's saying. Again, providing we have that little bit of faith. Yet the lyrics of the song we're going to sing, was sang earlier, suggest that there may be times when He won't do that. That He won't move the mountains. And you know what we'll need then? Not just a little bit of faith, we're going to need a whole lot of trust. We're going to need a whole lot of trust. Because there are times that we have faith and we pray for mountains to be moved. Having said that, I don't know of any example in New Testament times or thereafter where any of the disciples said, move mountain, and it did. They didn't understand that quite literally. This is a hyperbole that Jesus is using to illustrate that God has great ability when we ask in faith to do incredible things. Things that we couldn't possibly do. Things that no one could possibly do but Him. But nonetheless, there are times when we may ask in faith, but we don't have a good understanding of what God's direction and choice and will really is for us. Have any of you ever wondered about what God's will is in a particular matter? You said, well, I wonder what God's will is in this matter. Have any of you had that? Where you struggled about that? You know, so what, and particularly when it's not something spelled out in Scripture. It's one of those, if I could put it this way, it's one of those extracurricular things that comes up in life. Some people approach me and they'll say, well, Pastor Steve, I really want to know what God's will is. Should I take this job or this job? Should I live in this town or that town? Should I buy this house or that house? You know, and those things, I'm not telling you that God might not have a will about it, but it's more about your attitude and what you're going to do with these opportunities than it is about the opportunities. About really trusting God and believing in God and sorting out what is His will for me. How does He want me to behave in all circumstances? How does He want me to respond to Him no matter what path I take here? Because sometimes God doesn't define specific tasks and specific paths that way, and we struggle with His will. But we think, you know, well, I want this, and I don't see a reason why God wouldn't want it, so I'm just going to pray, and He'll make it happen. Really? Really? I got to tell you that this is going to really disappoint some of you, maybe break your hearts, maybe some of you get up and walk out, but here you go. You're going to say it's blasphemy, but here you go. Not every song in our hymnal is inspired of God. And not every song you hear on K-Love is either. Okay? Now, I'm so thankful for the songs, again, that borrow right from the text, right from the Scripture. and they refer to Scripture, and they really do help us to maybe comprehend and understand and apply the truths of Scripture. But sometimes songwriters have lifted a verse and they've misapplied it, and they maybe even perpetuated, meaning to do that, but perpetuated perhaps some bad theology. So what about this idea of trusting God when He doesn't move mountains? Is that a possibility? Is that a reality? Well, looking at this text again, just for a minute, the background, the disciples had failed to drive out a demon that had possessed a young boy for years. And again, Jesus uses this illustration to get them to understand that God has this incomparable power, this amazing ability, when a sincere prayer of faith is offered, to, again, remove obstacles, to help us to overcome hindrances, when what we're asking for is clearly according to His divine will. This was not a carte blanche to free us of all hardships and all difficulties and all problems. It was a challenge. A challenge to have a solid seed of faith in God's ability to do the impossible. Later on, Jesus, the same Jesus who told His disciples this, was in the Garden of Gethsemane. There we read in the accounts that He would pray three times for His Father to take the cup of suffering that He was about to face on Calvary's Hill away from Him. He even goes so far as to say, if it's possible. Matter of fact, in Mark 14, verse 35-36, it says that He fell to the ground and prayed that, if possible, the hour might pass from Him. And He said, Abba, Father, everything is possible for You. Take this cup from Me, yet not what I will, but what You will. See, Jesus acknowledges that nothing is impossible for God. He told His disciples that, did He not? Really, that nothing's impossible for God. If there's something in your path that God does not want you to go through, if there's something in your path hindering you from doing what God wants you to do, He can remove it and He will. But Jesus is saying here, in essence, Father, if it's possible to remove this from my path and me still do Your will, then do it. I know You can do anything. But notice He says, if it's possible to do that and still me do Your will. This is heavy. This is important. Following the example of Jesus, this is how we need to approach every obstacle, every problem, every hindrance, everything in our life that seems to be getting in the way of us moving forward. And we need to pray and say, God, I know it's possible for You to remove this, but God, I want to do Your will most of all. And if it's not possible for You to remove that and me still do Your will, then Father, leave it right there. Let me endure it for Your glory. Let me endure it because I want most of all to do Your will. You'll find that in the lyric of the song in a little bit. That's what I want most of all, to do. See, that was Jesus' greatest desire, to do the will of His Father. And if we're like Him, it'll be our greatest desire too. Amen? See, sometimes our greatest desire is just to remove this from my path, when our greatest desire should be, God, I want to do Your will. I want to do Your will. I want to surrender to Your will. And Jesus said that over and over again. Not what I want. Not what I will, but Father, Your will be done. Your will be done. Jesus was the epitome of faith. So the only logical conclusion is that He knew when He talked to the disciples earlier that the Father wasn't promising to remove any roadblock, any hurdle, any hindrance in the path unless it blocks our path to submitting to His will. And again, see, therein is the rub. There it is. And it's where a seed of faith grows into a secure trust. When we trust in God, when He doesn't do what we sincerely believe He can do, there's the issue. And it's where we need to trust in Him. in all things and at all times. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Well, he tells us that he repeatedly pleaded for God to remove a thorn from his side. Now, the scripture doesn't tell us what the thorn was. And there are theologians that debate all over the place about what this is, and they're convinced they know. But Paul didn't tell us, the Holy Spirit didn't reveal it to us, so we don't know. I've got some opinions, you want to hear them, but my opinion is as good as yours, and it probably doesn't matter at the end of the day. What matters is there was something, there was some problem, there was some difficulty, there was some hardship that Paul had. Some believe it was a physical illness, a physical problem, an ailment. Some believe that it was a persecution thing that was going on, that the people were always after him and it was hindering him from doing God's work, is the way he perceived it. Some believe it was a temptation they had in the flesh that he just wasn't able to quite overcome, that he still struggled with it. But we don't know. We don't need to know this. Though he pleaded repeatedly for it removed, it wasn't. Whatever the issue was, the problem remained. In fact, the text tells us that God replied to Paul's request like this. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Paraphrase, Paul, you don't need me to remove that. You've got me. You don't need me to take that away. You need to just trust in me that my grace is more than enough for the problem, for the situation. And we think so much again, as we talked earlier, about grace being just that he forgives us lavishly, but his grace is that he also empowers us lavishly. See, he gives us power, he gives ability, he's there with us all the time. And God was telling him, in essence, no, Paul. I have something even better for you, and you already have access to it. It's my grace. Now, obviously, Paul must not have had enough faith, or it would have been removed, right? Obviously, he didn't believe in God's ability as much as he should have, right? No, neither was the case. It wasn't about his lack of faith. Some evidence of that is that Paul didn't stop believing when God said no. But instead, he grew in his trust. He concluded this, therefore, I'll boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. So, did he stop believing? Did he stop boasting or bragging upon God's love and God's mercy and God's power and God's strength? Absolutely not. Matter of fact, he even goes on to say this. That's why for Christ's sake I delight in weaknesses and in insults and in hardships and in persecutions and in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul had great faith in God's ability to help and to heal the big things. But Paul, evidently, if you read the greater context again, needed to learn to grow in his trust. To trust God in all things, in all circumstances, in every situation. How many of you would confess today that you need that too? That we believe in God's ability, but when the answer appears to be no, that our faith can waver and our trust can wane rather than deepen. See, it gets hard this way, doesn't it? Can we trust God when our prayers are not answered the way we want them to be? Now, my atheist and agnostic acquaintances see this emphasis of trusting God even when he doesn't deliver, as you've asked him to be a lame loophole or a curious cop-out. I mean, when God doesn't prove himself with a marvelous miracle, they say it's because he either doesn't exist or he can't do it. What I say, it's because he not only exists, he chooses not to because he sees a bigger picture. Well, they say he would remove it if he cared. I say it's because he cares that he's withholding this from me, or he's not removing this. He knows it's not right for me. He knows it's not right for me to do and to live as he wants me to. Well, they say it's foolish to trust in a God who doesn't do what I ask. I say it's foolish not to. Suppose you pray, and you're praying for God to heal someone that you care about deeply, that you love, but they're not cured. And maybe they even die. My personal experience is that my prayers for someone's physical health have often been answered in ways that have defied logic. That doctors stand back and go, huh, how can that be? I've seen terminal illnesses destroyed. I've seen people who were told they would never walk again stand up, leap, and dance. Perhaps you have too. But I've also seen at other times infirmities remain and loved ones suffer. Yes, and they die. Yet when I remember God's promises to sustain believers in life and give them new bodies when they die, bodies that will never wear out, that are eternally healed, that will never fail them again, I'm reminded that God has a better plan than I do. And over the years, in those times, I've seen that as faith grows, trust deepens. Many of you have heard stories of how God closed doors that Nina and I thought He should have opened for us. We prayed for them to be opened, and they were slammed shut. But then He would open others that ushered us into places we never dreamed we would ever go. Never even dreamed we'd want to go. Scotland, for one. We believe that we are here in Rockford today because some prayers were answered and some others were left unanswered. You figure out whose prayers were answered and whose were unanswered. I know you guys were praying and we were praying, and some were praying we'd stay where we're at, but there were some unanswered prayers there and some answered prayers, and we just had to trust. And we believe with all of our hearts, we trust that God wanted us here and still does, or we wouldn't be here. We've shared how He's left, yes, some things that we've asked for to be unanswered. But later we found we had just been temporarily placed on hold until things were ready, until circumstances were right. And more to the point, in hindsight's 2020, they say, but I think so often it was not waiting for things to be right, it was waiting for us to be right. It was to grow us and deepen us in our relationship with Him and our faith in Him and our trust in Him. To trust Him in little things before we'd be blessed with bigger things. To be trusting Him in lean times before we could expect bountiful times. To trust Him in sad times before we could learn to really rejoice and praise Him in the good times. In the process, our faith has grown, our trust has deepened. Is it where it needs to be yet? No. No. But I'm trusting in God that He'll get us where we need to be in His time. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, urges us to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight. For a long time, I missed that part about submitting to Him in all my ways. Some translations say, acknowledge Him in all your ways. It's the same concept, same idea, is acknowledge that He knows what's right. Acknowledge that He knows what's best. And submit to His ways. To His direction. To His sovereignty, to His leading. To do that. See, in essence, we're being challenged to trust that His way is always better than our ways. to submit to Him all the time, to trust Him at all times and all ways. For He sees the bigger picture, the end as well as the beginning of a thing. He knows how much more we can take, even when we think we can't take anymore. I've long heard the idea that people, believers, would say, well, you know what, I know God won't, you know, tempt me beyond what I'm able to endure, but I think He's got me mixed up with somebody else. I think He's got the wrong address here. Wrong. God doesn't get you mixed up with somebody else. God never gets the wrong address, and He's always right on time. Always. He knows what it will take for us to move in our faith into trust. To rely upon Him when we can't see what He's doing or understand why He's doing it. See, and even in those times when we don't sense His presence, He knows how important it is for us to lean on His Word with all of our heart. To trust in His promises, even when we don't see them being fulfilled at the moment. In time, we come to appreciate that, to understand it. But some of us are pretty slow learners. I believe that God has had me repeat a grade or two in my life, to retake a course or two in my life that I have failed miserably in. And I'm wondering, well, why don't you just give me a pass, God? Why don't you just move me on to the next level? No, there's a test to pass. And so often the test is in learning, as James would say, to count it pure joy when we fall into trials and difficulties. To be able to trust Him enough to know that God is at work. God has not left me alone. God is right here. God is not only going to bring me through it, He is going to bring me to, quote unquote, greener pastures if I'll trust Him now. This was not the lesson that I had planned for this morning. And I confess at first I was a bit rattled that my plans got interrupted. I was working on another idea. I thought we were going to be introducing another song this month, and I was working on that one. But no, so my sermon draft was discarded. And I was a little bit rattled by that. I thought, man, I've almost got it done. God was really speaking to me. You know, really, this was going to be good. You guys were going to be wowed. And that's probably why he changed it. I had the wrong attitude. But see, I'm trusting, and it was really kind of phenomenal. Within just a couple hours of shifting gears and looking again at some texts, that I began to realize, no, this is exactly the lesson God wanted me to teach. For I know that there are some of you right here, right now, who desperately need to hear it. Even though we've prayed for better reports and believed for better things, some of you have had some disappointing news last week. You heard things you didn't want to hear, and you'd prayed against. Some of you are even now waiting for doctor's visits and some test results that, well, you're being plagued with concern, if not overcome with anxiety. Some of you had some vacation plans sidelined due to some unexpected injuries. That's disappointing. And I know there was a time, at least a period, you know, for those who happened, it was like, oh my goodness. God's good. God's good all the time. I know of at least one person who just learned that their hopes for a new job were shattered. And you've heard about our summer youth intern finding out just yesterday that both of her grandmothers passing away within hours of one another. I was also contacted last week by three people I had not seen in years. It was crazy. The phone was ringing off the wall. My private messaging thing was ding, ding, dinging. People wanted to chat with me and talk to me. And I hadn't talked to some of these people for, like I said, years. Over a decade for a lot of them. One of them shared that though God promises peace, his feelings of anger and guilt had overwhelmed him again. And though I counseled him and prayed with him before, and we thought that was taken care of, he's going through this again. Another told me that her dreams of meaningful romance were dashed. Someone that she really thought was the one, even thought God had sent him into her life. Now to find out that he wasn't who he said he was. Another is in such deep depression that she's contemplated suicide because she believes her pleas for the healing of her aged mother have been ignored. And see, in every case, I believe God was preparing me to respond. What a simple truth. A profound truth. We have a God who is able to do more than we can ask or imagine. But we need to trust Him. We need to trust Him. When what we're asking for, what we're wanting, is not delivered in the time and the method that we're asking for it to be delivered. We need to cling to Him, trust in Him, rely upon Him. And He promises if we'll do that, we will find rest for our soul. To one young lady, I said, look, because she was thanking me and others for what we had been able to help her with in the past. And she was just feeling lost and aimless now. And I said to her, listen, we were able to be there for you because of the Christ within us. And He's within you too. And though we are not close, He's very close. And though you might not be able to hear our voice, you can hear His if you'll listen. If you'll pay attention. And if you rely on Him, you will trust in Him in this hour. He will bring you through it. He will strengthen you through all things. And just encouraging her to rest on those promises and to rely upon the God who ultimately is the one who got her through. There wasn't me. It wasn't others. It was Him. We were merely His instruments, His agents. And I needed to remind her of that. But also to tell her, you know what? Not only will He get you through this and strengthen you, if you'll trust Him, He will equip you so that you can be to others as we have been to you. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3, the God of all comfort can comfort you in your troubles so that you can comfort others when they're troubled. Rest in Him. Trust in Him. Be determined to do that. I will trust in you. Make a decision, I will trust in you, God, no matter what's going on, no matter how bleak the circumstance, no matter what the situation, no matter what the obstacle, no matter what the hindrance, I will trust in you. You will either remove it, or you'll get me over it, around it, or through it somehow, providing it's your will that I'm submitting to. But God, if it is there and you put it there because it would be against your will for me to go in that direction, then help me to have the wisdom and discern that and see it and turn around and go back in the way you would have me to go. We call that repentance. So many times it comes to us in a conviction when our road is blocked. And we know we can't take another step forward unless He enables us to. So, if you're too unfamiliar with the song we're going to sing, or maybe you'll begin and you'll get choked up with the words because the message will really speak to your heart, then I pray you would just let God's Spirit minister to you. You'd listen to the message, you'd let it sink in, and that you would ask and pray that God would lead you into a deeper trust in your time of need. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank You in Jesus' name for Your mercy, for Your grace, for Your strength, for Your power. God, I want to thank You for being so patient with me, really with all of us, as we have had our faith struggles and we've had our times when we weren't sure how to go forward. But God, help us to know that You have never abandoned us. You promise never forsake us or leave us. If we are Your children, You call us to Yourself, and You promise that if we'll just follow Your Son Jesus, He will lead us all the way to glory. When we find obstacles in our path, God, help us to look to You, look to Your Son, look to Your Word, and make sure that we're on the right path. And if we are, God, just help us to trust that this is an exercise. An exercise for us to grow in faith and trust. So I pray for peace and comfort for those who are really, really struggling right now. who even find these words difficult to digest. But God, I pray that once again, it won't be that you'll just make it easier for them to digest. You'll help them, Father, to swallow hard and take in the truth that you can always be trusted. You can always be trusted. You can always be trusted. Father, is someone here today who has not yet trusted you enough to accept Jesus as their Savior and Lord? I pray, Father, that something we've said, something we can share with them perhaps later, will show them that He is the way, the truth, and the life. He will lead them in a better path. Thank you, God. Be with us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Tomorrow.